Hello and welcome back to Curious Cat. I'm your host Andy, and today we're diving into the incredible story of Sony, a company that didn't just make electronics, but literally changed how you experience music, movies, and gaming. Picture this. It's 1946, Japan is in ruins after World War II, and two brilliant engineers meet in a bombed-out department store to start what would become one of the most innovative companies in history. By the end of today's episode, you'll understand how Sony went from 8 employees and pocket change to creating cultural phenomena that are still shaping your daily life right now. Our story begins in the rubble of post-war Tokyo. Masaru Ibuka, a 38-year-old electronics genius, had just opened a tiny radio repair shop in the Shirokiya department store, a building so damaged by bombing that you could probably see the sky through the ceiling. With just 190,000 yen in capital, that's about $1,200 in today's money, and seven other employees, Ibuka was trying to make a living fixing radios for devastated families desperate to hear news from the outside world. But here's where it gets fascinating. In 1946, Ibuka's former colleague from the Wartime Research Committee, Akio Morita, spotted a newspaper article about this little repair shop. Morita was from a wealthy sake brewing family, and instead of taking over the family business as expected, he shocked everyone by travelling to Tokyo to join Ibuka. Together they founded Tokyo Telecommunications Engineering Corporation. Quite a mouthful, right? Now you might be wondering, how did Tokyo Telecommunications Engineering Corporation become Sony? Well, this is one of my favourite business naming stories ever. Morita and Ibuka realised they needed a short, catchy name that Americans could actually pronounce if they wanted to go global. They first considered TTK, their initials, but discovered a railway company was already using those letters. They tried Totsuko, but when Morita visited America, he found that Americans couldn't pronounce it at all. So here's what they did. They combined two words that represented exactly what they wanted their company to be. First, the Latin word sonus, the root of sonic and sound. Makes sense for an audio company, right? And second, Sonny, that 1950s American slang for a young, smart, energetic boy. They wanted their brand to sound youthful, innovative, and approachable. Sony, it was perfect. In 1958, they officially changed their name, and the rest, as they say, is history. But Sony's real breakthrough came in the 1950s, when they made a decision that changed everything. While other Japanese companies were content making cheap copies of American products, Sony decided to innovate. Ibuka flew all the way to America to secure licensing rights for this revolutionary new technology called the transistor from Bell Labs. Most companies were using transistors only for military applications, but Sony saw something different. They imagined tiny, portable radios that people could carry anywhere. In 1955, they launched the TR-55, Japan's first commercially produced transistor radio. It was small enough to fit in your pocket, and suddenly music wasn't confined to your living room anymore. This wasn't just a product launch, it was the beginning of portable entertainment as we know it. But Sony's most culturally revolutionary moment was still to come. In 1979, and this is where things get really interesting, co-founder Ibuka was getting older and wanted to listen to music while travelling, but Sony's portable tape recorders were bulky and meant for journalists. So he asked his engineers to modify their Pressman recorder into something smaller and simpler. The key insight: remove the recording function entirely and focus just on playback with lightweight headphones. The result, the Walkman. Now you might think this was an instant hit, but here's the surprising part. Sony's own marketing team thought it would flop. They couldn't imagine why anyone would want a tape player that couldn't record. But Morita had a vision. He saw young people wanting their own personal soundtrack to life. He was absolutely right. The Walkman didn't just become a product. It became a cultural revolution. Suddenly, you could have your own private concert hall wherever you went. Joggers started running to their favourite beats. Commuters could escape into their own musical worlds. The term Walkman effect was coined to describe how people use music to control their sonic environment. By the time Sony stopped making cassette Walkmans in 2010, they had sold 220 million units worldwide. Did you know that in 1986, Walkman was actually added to the Oxford English Dictionary? That's how deeply it had penetrated culture. In some places, people called any portable music player a Walkman, just like we say Kleenex for tissues. But Sony wasn't done revolutionising your entertainment. In the 1990s, they made another bold move that seemed crazy at the time, entering the video game console market. Nintendo dominated gaming, and Sony was known for electronics, not games. But here's the twist. Sony originally partnered with Nintendo to create a CD-ROM add-on for the Super Nintendo, until Nintendo abruptly ended the partnership and left Sony holding advanced gaming technology with nowhere to go. Instead of giving up, Sony thought, fine, we'll make our own console. In 1994, they launched the PlayStation, and it wasn't just successful, it changed gaming forever. The PlayStation introduced CD-based games with incredible graphics, cinematic storytelling, and attracted older audiences who had never considered gaming before. Today, Sony has sold over 500 million PlayStation consoles across all generations. What's remarkable about Sony's story is how they consistently saw potential where others saw problems. Portable music seemed unnecessary until the Walkman proved everyone wrong. Gaming consoles seemed like a market dominated by toy companies, until PlayStation proved games could be sophisticated entertainment for adults too. Today, Sony isn't just surviving. They're dominating in ways you might not even realise. They control 55% of the global image sensor market, which means the camera in your smartphone, whether it's an iPhone or Android, likely has Sony technology inside. They're the world's second largest camera manufacturer and third largest television maker. When you're watching a movie, there's a good chance Sony Pictures produced it or Sony Music published its soundtrack. From 8 employees in a bombed-out building to a global entertainment and technology empire worth over $100 billion. Sony's journey shows us something powerful about innovation. It's not always about inventing something completely new. Sometimes it's about seeing familiar things in entirely new ways. So the next time you put on headphones, stream a movie, or play a video game, remember those two engineers who met in the ruins of Tokyo and dared to imagine that technology could make life not just more convenient, but more joyful. They took the Latin word for sound, an American slang for a bright young person, created Sony, and changed how you experience entertainment forever. That wraps up today's episode of Curious Cat. What struck me most about Sony's story is how they never just followed trends, they created them. Makes you wonder what seemingly impossible idea might be changing the world right now. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time when we explore another fascinating corner of our curious world.